A University of Idaho scientist is working on a project that could be the next NASA mission to Saturn's moon Titan. The project is called Dragonfly. If NASA gives it the green light, it would send a giant drone-like rotorcraft to Titan to study the moon's makeup and look for the possibility of life. Jason Barnes is a physics professor at the University of Idaho and is a founding member of the Dragonfly Project, and he joins us to talk about the mission. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Okay, this is exciting stuff. How did this come about, first off?
Well, we were thinking for a long time about Titan, which is, you know, a really amazing place that we've been exploring from the Cassini spacecraft for the last 14 years until it crashed into Saturn last October. And so we've been trying to think of how to explore Titan like people have been exploring Mars. So on Mars, we send rovers so that we can drive between rock outcrops and explore different parts. And I was, you know, we're thinking maybe we should send that to Titan, but Titan's like super cold. The temperature there is 90 Kelvin, which is a little bit warmer than liquid nitrogen temperatures.
Oh, so that's cold.
So like wheels don't work right. Grease doesn't work right at those temperatures. So we decided to instead look into another way to get around. And it happens that Titan is the only moon in our solar system with a substantial atmosphere. And that atmosphere is four times thicker than Earth's.
So what does that mean?
So means that if you want to fly, this is the best place in the solar system to fly.
Oh, okay.
The gravity there is also lower. It's like about the gravity on the Earth, same as gravity on Earth's moon, about 1/7 Earth gravity. So flying there is 30 times easier than it is on Earth. So that's how we hit upon the idea of, you know, having a lander on Titan. But instead of wheels to get us around, we use our rotors and we'll be able to fly from place to place instead.
Okay. So basically, as I said in the introduction, this is a basically kind of a drone. But how
– kind of a weird word for us. Like isn't every spacecraft a drone?
I don't know.
Why are we calling them drones? Are we calling them drones now?
I think we're calling them drones. So tell me about Dragonfly. And why is it better than, you know, say something like the Mars rover and that mission?
Well, I think the Mars rovers are great missions. I wouldn't say it's necessarily better. Okay, I would. Okay, yeah. No, we're better.
You're better. Just pat yourself on the back.
Titan's an exciting place. We've been flying to Mars for a long time, and Mars is a valuable target. You know, it's the most sort of Earth-like chemistry in the solar system. There's solid basalt rocks like you guys have down here in the Snake River Plain, and there's water ice all over Mars. But one thing we've looked for all over Mars are carbon compounds. If you want to find life, we think you need water, organics, carbon compounds, and energy. And we've been looking for organics on Mars for the last 40 years, and we really haven't found any to any appreciable amount. And that's where Titan really steals the show. Titan is the most organic-rich body in the whole solar system. That cold atmosphere I was telling you about has methane in it, and that methane sort of plays the same role that water does on Earth. You get methane clouds and methane rainstorms on Titan, methane that hits the ground and flows into methane creeks that flow downhill into methane lakes and seas near Titan's north and south poles. This is the only other place in the solar system that has, you know, active liquids.
So what are you hoping to learn if Dragonfly does go there? And then also with the – what do you mean by when you say, you know, trying to find life? Because when I think of that, I'm like, are you going to find a person? I mean, you're not going to find a person, but it's a matter of like, could someone eventually live there? But I mean, it's so cold.
We can live in outer space if you have a spacesuit on. So,
well, there's that.
So the difference on Titan is that there is atmospheric pressure there. So you wouldn't need a pressure suit like you would if you were flying in space. You'd need a whole lot of jackets and an oxygen mask.
There's that issue.
So I don't know if it would be all that distinguishable from a spacesuit if you were out there. But most of the atmosphere there is nitrogen, which is the same as it is on Earth. It's most of the elements you'd need to be able to live there are there. This is one of the places in the solar system you could conceive of actually living. The atmosphere protects you from radiation and that sort of thing. But certainly you'd still need an awful lot of support. So in terms of looking for life, we're looking for chemical signatures of life. And so we're trying to so when the Viking landers flew, they launched in 1976 to Mars. They thought they were going to look for life. And so they dug up some soil and they put it in, you know, a little petri dish with some water. And they waited to see, you know, whether it would, start growing. We're trying to improve on that strategy. That was, it turns out, a very naive strategy. going in, because we just didn't know anything about what the chemistry of Mars was like. It turns out there's these perchlorates in the soil. When you mix them with water, there are these crazy chemical reactions. If there were life, that would definitely have destroyed it. So we're sort of taking a step back, and we're trying to take that step back to allow for, hey, maybe we don't understand exactly how some life on Titan is going to work, but we want to have a system to be able to tell, or at least to be able to give us an idea of that there might be something happening without, you know, going in with a microscope and looking for bugs.
We're speaking with Jason Barnes, a physics professor at the University of Idaho, about the Dragonfly mission to Saturn's moon Titan. So, Jason, NASA still has to give Dragonfly the final green light to go into space, correct?
Right. So what we're doing now is we're in this competition. NASA sometimes used to be back 30 years ago, NASA would just fly giant missions everywhere. Mm-hmm. And they've taken to starting these competitions for people that could propose good ideas that would be then evaluated. And if there are good ideas, then NASA would later fund them. So we were one of 12 proposals that went in last year, and we were one of two that were down selected for the next cut.
And is this called the New Frontiers program?
Right. So this is called New Frontiers. These are the medium-sized NASA missions that are only at $850 million, which
only.
This is pretty cheap.
So what then? What's the next step? So you're one of two finalists.
Right. So we're going to write a we got some money from NASA to refine our concept and to do some engineering to try to improve
our idea. $4 million, just like.
Yep, $4 million. That's
chump change for NASA.
Well, engineers are expensive. The scientists will work for free. I'm not getting paid on this part, but just by being excited and being willing to serve on this.
Yeah.
But engineers, they take hard cash.
So what do you do with the $4 million then? What do you have to do?
So one of the things we're doing is we're looking to address some of the problems or potential problems that the review panel found in our proposal. I've served on review panels in the past. I really do think this is a really healthy step and a very healthy way to approach the problem, where you have a bunch of smart people look at your problem, and you try to figure out where the holes might be, and you try to see if you can't find a way to engineer your way around those problems. For instance, we had a sensor that might have gotten too hot before, and so we're going to find a way to cool it off by putting a radiator on it or something like that. So we're trying to find sort of solutions to be able to really demonstrate to NASA. NASA really doesn't want to spend that kind of money and have our mission not work when we get there.
Well, that makes perfect sense, right?
So they're willing to spend this money up front to make sure that we really get all our ducks in a row and we really know what we're doing before we start cutting metal.
So what's the next step then? When will you find out if Dragonfly gets selected and goes into space?
Right. So there'll be another review panel that will convene next spring, so spring of 2019, and probably by summer of 2019, the NASA will make a final decision as to whether or not we will fly or our competitor will fly, which is a comet sample return mission.
Oh, okay. And so if you get the green light and mm-hmm. they say, yep, you're the one, when would this potentially happen?
Well, when it comes to flying to the outer solar system, you've got to plan ahead.
So, just a little.
So we're going to be launching in 2025. Which is not very soon. And then we are taking the scenic route out to Titan with a couple of gravity assists in the inner solar system to save money. And so it'll take us 9.5 years to get there. So we won't arrive till 2034.
You are kidding.
So.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to be old by then.
You're not going to be that old. So
No, I will.
So looking at the big picture, I can tell, you know, just from talking to you, you are so excited about this. But why is Titan so special? And, you know, why should just the average person be excited about this?
Well, when you look at it, there's only four places in our solar system, like Earth, that have a solid surface and an atmosphere, right? We have gas planets that are all atmosphere, and we have rock planets like the moon that are no atmosphere. But in terms of places with an atmosphere, it's just Venus, Earth, Mars, and Titan. Venus is way too hot. To live on. 700 Kelvin, the temperature down there. All of our probes melt in an hour and a half after you drop them in. So if you're looking for places to explore in the solar system where, you know, the same kind of physical and chemical processes happen that happen on Earth, Titan and Mars are the most exciting places. And with all this organic riches of Titan and the potential to mix it with water and potentially figure out what the early steps are of maybe how chemistry started to form itself into prebiotic chemistry and perhaps even into life itself. That's a really fundamental question that we can't actually answer here on Earth. But Titan's been sitting there for 4 billion years now, slowly running this experiment for us. And so all we have to do is go there and collect the results.
Well, if you get there in 16 years and if we're still on the air, I want to have you back and talk to you even before then.
I'll bring my cane.
Okay, sounds good. Jason, thank you so much for chatting. Jason Barnes is a physics professor at the University of Idaho working on the Dragonfly mission to Titan.